Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Now, the quick reminder, 101.7 The Wall is where I'm hoping to do my return to radio shortly. I'll make an announcement of an exact date, but WLLW The Wall has been the Finger Lakes' only classic rock station for 20 years. We're talking about Geneva, New York, the beautiful Finger Lakes region, and up there they know how to shut up and rock at 101.7 The Wall. So that's the shirt. That's the coffee mug, and this is some of the swag. So I will be, like I said, updating you on that shortly, because you will be able to tune in from anywhere, because they stream the radio over the internet these days. Who'd have thought? But today, right now, we're going to talk about titles in Michigan, and I've mentioned before, I often talk about titles, titling, and how the actual certificate of title works. When you buy a brand new vehicle, they'll issue a title in your name. And when you own a car and you have a title, you sell it to somebody else, you're going to sign the title over to them. And I've done entire videos on that. And I've had several people point out to me that the way things are done in Michigan is different than the way they do things in some other states. Turns out that's often the case with the law, right? Well, I've mentioned before, you may have caught this if you follow me closely, that I recently bought a brand new 2019 Ford Explorer. And I had a great purchasing experience, and I've been raving about that. And I got a plan, which is the Ford discount, because I've got a brother who worked at Ford for many, many years. And then, of course, I got great financing, and I even got a rebate. So, you know, I've liked the transaction every step so far. And I've said, by the way, if anything happens, I'll let you know. So far, nothing's happened. But in yesterday's mail, I received my title. And this is the thing that's interesting to me, because in Michigan, if you own a vehicle, the state mails you the title. You hold the title. And I've heard that in some other states, if there is a lien holder on the title, somebody else put the money up for you to buy the car, that sometimes the lien holder holds the title. I've never encountered that before. But if that's the case in other states, you know, that's just the way they do it. But, you know, I've told people, by the way, you know, I got my title in the mail, and they're like, what? So right here is the certificate of title. And it says right at the top, State of Michigan, certificate of title. And a vehicle identification number, 17 digits there. And then it has the year, the make, the model, the body style. It is a station wagon, according to the state of Michigan. A title number, an issue date. The odometer reading at the time that I signed the application for title, which was 17 miles. Gives my name and address with my middle name. And Stephen with a V is the first name. And then it lists first secured party. And that lists Ford Motor Credit, because they're the people who are kind enough to lend me the money at 0.0% interest. And by the way, a lot of people didn't notice that was a joke. And I apologize. There are jokes embedded into my podcasts. Many of them are not things I planned in advance. It just pops into my head and I say it. Some of them are Simpsons references. But 0.0 is a joke from Animal House, when the guys from the fraternity get hauled in front of the dean. And he pulls out their transcripts to let them know how badly they're all doing. And he gets to the end of the row and he goes, and you, 0.0. And he says it with his great inflection in his voice. And you'll hear that line being used, for instance, as a drop, where radio disc jockeys will use it as a joke. I believe that Anthony Bourdain's production company was called 0.0 Productions. And I'm pretty sure that was a tip of the hat, as they say, to Animal House. So when I say 0.0, I had several math freaks in the audience go, Steve, 0.0 is just zero. And I'm like, yes, but it's funnier when I say 0.0. So yeah, I'm sorry if you don't think it's funny, that's fine, but we don't have to agree on everything. And the Simpsons references can be quite obscure. I had somebody ask me to do an entire video on the Simpsons. And I said, well, it's kind of hard to do that because I can't play their clips. I'm not going to go through all the work to play the clips. And somebody said, well, why don't you just talk about like your favorite episodes, the favorite jokes that you think, and that I could do. I mean, it seems a little self-indulgent, but if you think you'd enjoy that, let me know and I'll do it. Because I've got the books that contain all of the episodes, and I know, you know, which ones contain the funny jokes that I've often returned to over and over again. In fact, the thing where they got the internet on computers now, I actually alluded to earlier when I said they've got the radio on the internet. And that's obscure, but that's what I was thinking when I said it. But back to the title I got in the mail. So I got the title in the mail, and it does list me as the owner and Ford Motor Credit Company as the lien holder. But I have to let you know that, first of all, it does list me as the owner. And for some odd reason, when I tell people, by the way, you bought a car, you are now the owner of it, people say, well, no, I'm not the owner. The bank owns it. And, you know, I get what you're saying, but you own it. And if you doubt it, look at the title. Owner, Steve Leto. First secured party, the bank. So I own this car. Now, people say, Steve, stop making payments. Watch what happens. No, I'm going to make my payments. Why would I stop making payments just to see what happens? I know what would happen. But the point is, their rights to repossess the vehicle are only triggered when I break the agreement that I have with them to pay them on the loan. So it's not going to happen. But so I'm the owner. They're the first secured party. And then it has all this information on it. And if I go to sell this car, I'm then going to have to fill out this title assignment down here. And if I've, you know, gotten a lien release on this lien, I can do that free and clear. If not, I got to work that out also. And then at the very bottom, it says, sellers must keep a receipt or photocopy of the reassigned title for their records for 18 months or accompany the purchaser to a Secretary of State office. And this is one of the things that I've preached about. So many people call my office and they say, Steve, I sold a car to a guy, handed him the title, he handed me the money, we shook hands, and he drove off. And bad things happened. He got in an accident and he ran away and now I'm being sued. He abandoned the car someplace and chalked up, $500 in towing and storage. And now I'm being sued for that. It's been running toll booth red lights for the last 6 years and I've got $10,000 of unpaid tolls in some state I've never been to. And crazy things can happen if the car doesn't get retitled. So I tell people, I say, just simply go with the buyer to a Secretary of State's office or DMV or wherever you live and stand there while it gets retitled into their name. And I've had people say, Steve, that's just stupid. That's just stupid. Well, you know, okay, but it avoids the problem I'm describing. And I've actually had people say, but Steve, that's so stupid that, I mean, who would suggest it? Well, in Michigan, the Secretary of State's office suggests it. They actually say that you should do this. And now it's kind of funny because they've softened this up. And it says sellers must keep a receipt or photocopy of the reassigned title for their records for 18 months or accompany the purchaser to a Secretary of State office. So what I would suggest to you is you can keep a photocopy of this for 18 months. But 17 months from now, when you get that letter from some other state saying your car... And by the way, you know, I understand that you would have to leave the license plate on the car to do this, but some states you do actually leave the license plate on the car and you sell it, which is idiotic. Why would you sell the license plate with the car? But, so your car was involved in a crime in another state and then it got impounded and now you got thousands of dollars in impound fees and you're going to say, well, I sold the car to some guy. And they're going to say, who? Now, if you kept a copy or a photocopy of the title, yeah, I guess that'll help you to some extent. But notice that's the state of Michigan giving you this advice. When the car is in another state doing bad things, and you say, well, the Michigan Secretary of State's office said if I Xerox this title, I'm okay. They're going to say, who cares? They don't tell us how to run our state. They just tell you how to run your state. So if you are in a state where you can take the buyer to the Secretary of State's office and do the title transfer while you're standing there, it solves a lot of problems. And it wastes a little bit of your time. But trust me, I've gotten too many phone calls from people who've had a lot more time and money wasted down the road because they didn't take that advice. So again, I do have my title. One of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to scan this. So I have an electronic copy of it. I'm also going to take a photograph of it, on my scanner bed, and I'll have that also. And then I'll take and put this where I put all my secure documents, all my important documents. And then I'll hang on to it and hopefully not lose it. In the past, I have actually lost a title. When I moved one time, I lost one of my titles. I couldn't find it, so I had to order a replacement title. And then, of course, they'll type right below certificate of title, say replacement title. You know, this may be subject to the original title if it's ever located. And then, of course, in Michigan, the titles are green if they're good titles. If it's a salvage title, I think it's orange, light orange. And there's other title issues in other states, how they do that, where they change the colors of the titles and so on. So then I have to point out to you that because I'm a Lemon Law attorney, I'll tell you this, but in Michigan, when you buy a brand new car, you get this little piece of paper in the envelope with your title. And it says, notice for owners or lessees of new vehicles. If you own or lease a new vehicle that has lingering defects, you may have legal remedies under Michigan's Auto Lemon Law, MCL 257-1408. And what's funny is they cite 1408, which I believe is the section that tells them they have to send you this notice. It should say 1401 and beyond, et sec. The law applies to passenger vehicles used for personal, family, or household purposes, including leased passenger vehicles. Some business-type vehicles may also be covered. I don't know what they're getting at with that. Because if you use it for business, But business-type? I guess they might be saying that, you know, if you think of an SUV as something used for business, I don't know. The Lemon Law does not apply to any larger trucks, motorhomes, motorcycles, or off-road vehicles, and they should say, or boats, or sewing machines, or, you know, personal watercraft, or so on. A defective vehicle is one in which the same problem has not been repaired after four attempts, or a vehicle that is out of service 30 days or more for repairs. The first report of the defect must be made within 1 year from the date of delivery to the original purchaser or lessee, which is me, because I just got the notice, during the term of the manufacturer's warranty, whichever period is shorter. If the vehicle you purchased or leased is defective, you may be entitled under state law to its replacement or to a refund of the lease or purchase price. To obtain a replacement or refund, you must first report the defect in writing to the manufacturer, a last chance letter, and you may be required first to arbitrate the dispute. Probably not. And then it says over. You turn it over. In order to protect your rights under Michigan's Auto Lemon Law, do follow the following steps. One, keep copies of all correspondence to and from the manufacturer and the dealer. Good idea. Two, keep copies of all work orders for repairs in the vehicle, including the dates the work was performed and the mileage in the vehicle at the time of the repair, which should be included in the work order if it's done under warranty. And then three, follow all requirements of the warranty, including any requirement that the repairs must be done by an authorized dealer specified by the manufacturer. And so obviously if your vehicle is under warranty and you take it in for warranty work, you're not going to run afoul of any of this. But where you run into problems, for instance, is if you buy a brand new vehicle and you start doing your own oil changes and somewhere down the road the engine sludges up and you take it in and say, hey guys, the engine's acting funny, and they pull the dipstick and there's a fight trying to get it out of the thing because it's so gummy. And they pull it out and all of a sudden, you know, a puff of dust comes out and then some smoke. And they say, you ever changed the oil in this thing? We've got no record of you ever changing the oil. And you go, yeah, I changed the oil 3,000, every 3,000 miles, like clockwork, like religion. It's my religion. And they say, prove it. And you say, oh. And they say, well, do you have any receipts or any evidence you ever did this? No. I go into Dollar General and I buy all my oil with cash. And then I go to the local hardware store and I buy a oil filter with cash. And I throw away the old ones and I throw away the bottles and I've got no documentation of any of this. But I've changed the oil every 3,000 miles. You're going to run into some trouble with that one, okay? But if you were actually telling the truth, theoretically you could win that. It's just who's going to believe you. So it does say, if you have any questions regarding your rights under this law, consult an attorney or another qualified individual. I'm not sure who's qualified to give you advice legally in Michigan other than an attorney. I think what they should have said is consult an attorney who is qualified to give you advice, because most attorneys are not qualified to give advice on the Lemon Law. The same way I would not give you advice on your divorce or your estate. It's not my specialty. And then it says for more information on the Lemon Law, it's available at the Attorney General's website, michigan.gov/AG for Attorney General. But, you know, the Michigan Secretary of State's office and the Attorney General have for many years been very consumer friendly. They have been historically. So I like that. So again, just got the title for my brand new Explorer. It's green. That's cool. I'm the owner, the bank's the lien holder, and I got the notice and warning about the Lemon Law, which is pretty cool. Most people get that and toss it, but at least they did get the notice as required by law. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.